Appreciate that, ladies. Psalm 147. This is bonus coverage. This isn't even the message. Psalm 147, verse 4. See, they took that telescope and they pointed at the darkest spots in the sky where they think nothing is. And all of a sudden, there's galaxies. The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 4, He telleth the number of stars. See, God knows exactly how many there are. He knows them so well that He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. Look at now, His understanding is infinite. These things that come back, these images that just come back, just reveal to us that God is who He says He is. And it is a big universe out there. And say, what's at the end of the universe? The Lord. That's where He is. He's on the sides of the north. I don't know. And that's that. All right, get your Bibles out tonight. Turn over to, oh, you already have your Bibles out. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. We had a lot of people out tonight. Rodell's are gone, which takes up an entire section. Primers, Sutliff's. We got some kids at camp and some people that are not feeling well. And just a lot going on. Pray for one another. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm going to look at one verse, then we're going to jump over to Isaiah. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Speaking of Isaiah, where's Isaiah Seatman? Isaiah helped me lay these bricks this afternoon. Excellent assistant. He makes this great mortar. He's a little slow with getting the bricks to me, but we got a whole brick wall up today. And I think it looks really nice. Like, it looks pretty cool. Appreciate all the hands all week that helped. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight, and God, thank You for giving us an example to follow. As we've read many times in John chapter number 10, that You are the shepherd and we are the sheep, and we're to follow Your voice. Not just are we to follow Your voice, but God, we're to follow Your example, and how You lived, it should be how we live. And God, may our life be distinguished and categorized as that of Christian life, because we do what You did. Lord, I pray You'd help us with those things. Help us with that here tonight. Help us with that key thought. Lord, I pray that You bless the preaching here. Lord, Lord, thank You for Your word, that we can open it with full confidence, knowing that it's true and knowing that it never leads us astray. Lord, help us to just make application personally in our life. May we be strengthened through Your word here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to Isaiah chapter number 50. This is a prophetical text talking of Christ. Starting in verse 4, the Bible says this, Isaiah 50 in verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." How many of you have had the Lord come by your way when you were weary and He knew exactly what to say? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. "He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine eye, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And here's the prophetical text concerning Christ. "I gave my back to the smiters." We read about that in the New Testament there, the closing chapters of pretty much each book of the Gospels. There He was whipped, the Bible tells us, "and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." They literally ripped the beard out of His face. And the Bible says this, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." We saw that. There was one of the games that they played. They mocked Him. They would cover His face and smite Him, the Bible says. And that could have been just a disrespectful slap. That could have been a full-on punch to the face. And they would uncover it and say, "If you're the prophet who you say, tell us who hit you." And He would not respond. But He also didn't turn His face from it either. He said, "I hid not my face."
You can imagine as he carried that cross that day up through the main part of town, out of town, how shameful that must have looked. But he didn't hide. Bible says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded." Therefore, and this is the passion I'd like to draw our attention to here tonight, "Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Wednesday night we preach a message on not being ashamed. But here, Christ gives us the example. As he went through difficult things, the Bible says that he set his face like a flint. A flint is a hard piece of stone. It was used a lot of times in making tools, because if you can shatter a piece of flint, now certainly we are familiar with flint and the ability to start fires, right? You strike a little bit of flint and that creates a spark, and if you have the right material on the other side of that, that'll induce a flame depending on what you're trying to start there. But also it was used a lot for stone tools because it was so hard. But because if you could shatter a piece of flint, it would come off in shards, and the shards were usually very sharp. So you didn't have to really do much of a stone work to it, because the piece that would come off, because it was so brittle, and so if you were able to break a piece off like that, it would be a helpful and useful tool. Maybe a shovel or a ratchet or a hatchet or an axe or something like that, maybe a weapon of some sort. But it was known for its hardness. And the Bible says this: Jesus Christ said, "I have set my face like a flint." You know what that is? Sometimes it gets a little windy out here. And like 6 months out of the year, it's windy out here. And you come out, and then there's those really windy days where you gotta keep the little ones close, because remember that time Caleb was plastered up against the fire hall? I mean, he just blew right across the road. You didn't really do that. But it's really, we tell the kids, "Hey, make sure you wear your lead shoes. It's just windy out here." And you just put your face to the wind and go forward. You know, sometimes that's what it's like in the Christian life. You've heard the phrase, trying to swim upstream, right? Going against the flow. When all the world is going this way, here's the Christian life, and we just got to set our face like a flint and just go at it. What a great example to us. And you know, I told you this morning, this message's desire is to be a help to everybody, because the Christian life, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to need this. You're going to need the ability to, when the world is coming this way, just set your face like a flint and just go against the thing. The worst thing that a Christian can do is just turn tail and go along with the world. Christ says, "Here's what I did. I set my face like a rock, and I just pointed it towards it, and I just kept going forward." Hey, what a good example. Hey, there's conflict. We live in a place that is contrary to the truths of Scripture. Say, yeah, New York State. No, this entire world. The Bible says it. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Say, I just want to live in peace. Well, bad news. You signed up for Christianity, and the world around you is against what you believe. What the Bible says. The Bible says this: "Love not the world, neither the 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh..." God specifically talks of these things. "The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father." That's our Father. That's the Heavenly Father. As a Christian that bows his head and asks the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sins, and God all of a sudden becomes his Heavenly Father, one that we can call Abba. Hey, he says, "Those things aren't part of my family." And that stuff surrounds you all the time. Here, Christian, this is what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to set your face like a flint and just face those things and go against those things. For how long? Till I come back, he says. But it's of the world. "The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God," the Bible says, "abideth forever." John chapter 15, go there. John 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, what does the Bible say? Hateth you. Great. I'm surrounded by things that dislike me. I feel like the nation of Israel, poor nation of Israel. On every side, they have enemies. You know, we got Canada to our north, no enemy. I mean, no problem there. I don't know, we're going to throw maple syrup at us. And down south, you know, Mexico, we're good with them. They're trying to get here. Man, could you imagine right on the other side of your border, within fighting distance, within missile range, is your arch enemy that wants to see you removed from the face of the... Hey, that's what it's like as a Christian. So what do I do with that? You set your face like a flint and you face it. Hey, Christianity, I'm just... Boys, listen to me now, because this is important. Peyton, listen. Not that you weren't. I'm just calling it. He's doing great. Okay, Amy? He's not in trouble. He's great. He's doing good. All right. We need some young men to face this world and say, no way, I'm going against this thing. I'm going to stand up for right and truth. We need some fathers. We need some men that just can look at this world and say, I'm going to push against this thing. I'm going to set my face like a flint, and I'm going to endure. I'm going to go against what this world says to that is so acceptable. Where are those? Say, I made that decision. Great. Then this message tonight will be an encouragement to you. But if you have not, I encourage you here tonight to endure. We're going to look at 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter number 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hey, being a believer doesn't mean you're necessarily a doormat. You should stand up for something. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let us remember, comparing this, balancing this with this morning's message. Hey, when contention comes, hey, we're trying to reach the lost. We are to be gentle, affectionate, all of those things. But when the world says, this is the direction in which you should head, you should put your face to that wind and say, not me. I may be going against it, and it's a slow go. When that wind is whipping out here, you do not get to your car unless your back's to the wind quickly. You're moving through that thing, and you're holding on to your little ones, and those steps are slow, but you're going forward. Hey, do that. The Bible says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means set your face like a flint, put it towards the wind, go against the flow, and stand there and go against that thing. Endure hardness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, thou art therefore, I endure all things. What trips you up? Well, what would it take for you to quit on your faith? What would it be? What would get you out of this thing? A difficult day? A difficult week? Hey, I'm here to tell you, times in life do get hard, but it is no time to quit. Paul encourages us, endure. Endure some things. Number one, endure hardness. Sometimes life is hard. This is not what I signed up for. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and I'll be sympathetic and compassionate, but I'll come alongside you and help you to go forward. I'm not going to encourage you to quit. It breaks my heart when families give up on each other. That's not okay. That's not a good resolve. That's not a good answer. You're not going to solve a problem with creating more. Hey, it's hard. Yeah, Christianity sometimes is hard. So what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to set your face like a flint and endure hardness. If he tells me to endure hardness, you know what that means, Anna? Hardness is coming my way. in the anybody go in the airport? Any go to the airport, and they have those people movers. You know what I'm talking about? Those things are awesome. Say, what is it? It's an escalator, flat. It feels like you are moving at warp speed. If you stand there, it's nice, you just get the rest. But if you walk on those people movers, say, is that what the Christian life is? No, try walking against that. Go the other way. Say, why would I do that? Because sometimes there's hard times in life. Sometimes there's, listen now, there's resistance to the ways of God. Well, nobody likes me. Everybody hates. The Bible says they're going to hate you. Not because of you. They love you. They just hate Christ. I'm sure you're a wonderful person, have a great personality. It's Christ that they hate. And the more you become like Christ, you know what? The less and less you're going to, the harder you're going to have to push forward. There's going to be hardness. Man, the bus ministry's hard. Keep going, Ms. Colopy. Endure hardness. The Spanish ministry, it's difficult. Endure hardness. Hey, life sometimes is hard. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to endure. Hardness doesn't give us an opportunity nor a license to quit on Christianity, young men. Endure hardness. Set your face like a flint. Endure hardness. Number two, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You should be very close, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Say, it sounds similar. What's an affliction? An affliction is the cause or continued. Listen now, hardness seems like a moment, an event. Affliction is the cause of continued pain of body or mind as sickness, losses, calamity, adversity, persecution. So where'd you get that definition from? Webster's 1828. The Bible says endure afflictions. If he's telling me to endure afflictions, that means some afflictions are going to come. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, hey, I've got this thorn in the flesh. It's keeping me humble, but it sure would be nice if it was gone. And how many times did he ask? Braden, do you remember? He asked the Lord how many times to get rid of that thing. The Bible says thrice. You know what thrice is? Three times. God said, no, I'm leaving it there. What? Endure afflictions. Continued pain of mind, body, sickness, loss, calamity, adversity, persecution. Look at Psalm 34. Say, why is life hard? Because you're going against it. You're not on the people mover. You're going backwards. You're fighting against it. You're trying to swim upstream. We have a creek by our house. And if you want to, you can fight against that thing, but I recommend going against it first and then turning around and coming back home. That'll be a lot easier. Psalm 34 and verse, Psalm 34, look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know what that means? Difficult times are coming. There's going to be illness. There's going to be loss. I don't know. Hey, that's what we signed up for. We said it's worthwhile to go through all those things for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Isn't it good to know Jesus Christ is right there with us every step of the way? So what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to set your face like a flint and look at that thing and look at it dead in the eye and say, not today, and just move forward. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 11. Bible says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Sounds like he knows Psalm 34 and verse 19. Hey, I experienced some persecution, some affliction, but Paul testifies and said, but God delivered me out of all of them. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Hey, I want to encourage the brethren tonight. Think it not strange when the world is against the things of God, but don't quit. Don't give up. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man up is pretty much what it's saying. Get serious about the things of God. Hey, there's an end in sight. Just be faithful until that. Endure some hardness. Endure afflictions. Well, I don't feel good. Who feels good anymore? I don't feel, no one feels good. Peyton, do you feel good? I knew Peyton would. How old are you, Peyton? How old are you, Peyton? Hold on. Seven. Making me do math. Of course he feels good. He's seven. My back, I can't do anything. Stop. Endure affliction. Keep going. Hey, if you're looking for a reason to quit, we can come up with 1,000. But I'm asking you tonight, find a reason to keep going. Endure hardness. Endure afflictions. James chapter number 1. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is man that endureth temptation. What is that? That's a trial of your faith. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Peter chapter number 5. A lot of verses tonight. Jumping all over the place, but I want to show you these things. Endure temptations. Endure hardness. Endure afflictions. Endure temptation. Say, well, I didn't have temptations before I met Christ. All of a sudden now, I realize that there's sin and some things I shouldn't do. And it is a lot harder to say no to the wrong things. Because before, I just went along with it. Hey, Christian, here's something that you need to do. Be able to endure hardness, endure affliction. But how about this? Endure temptation. Every time temptation comes by your way, don't fall to the thing. Put your face like a flint and say, not today. No, I'm going to get the victory over this. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Hey, temptation isn't easy. But at the end, he's able to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Do you understand that you say no to those temptations? You go through those trials of your faith. At the end, you know, you understand this. Listen now, you come out stronger. The boys at the house, they like to pick things up and put things down. And the more they do that, the stronger they get. They test themselves. They push themselves physically. How about spiritually, Christian? Hey, I said no to that thing. You don't have to let the world know. Don't get on Facebook. Hey, just want to let everybody know. I didn't take a drink today. Hey, that's great. You'll probably get some encouraging words, and that's good. But maybe you keep some of these things just between you and the Lord. Hey, I've struggled with impatience, or I struggle with anger, or I struggle with bitterness, or I struggle with whatever it is that you struggle with. And today I said no to the thing. And you know what? I'll promise you this, you're stronger as a Christian. Christian, you need to be able to endure some stuff. We got a generation of softness. That's a blessing that we are in touch so well with our emotional sides. But, hey, Christianity demands of us that we can endure hardness, endure afflictions, endure temptations. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice now, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Christ says, I'd be real pleased if you got through some of those things. You understand that he's made a way to escape, and we'll talk about that. We can be strengthened. But Christian, I encourage you here tonight. Endure hardness. Endure afflictions. Stop catering to every, well, I just don't feel like. Stop with the feelings. Just do right. Our feelings will, I think the enemy can manipulate our feelings into getting us to not do things for the Lord. Again, we are really good at coming up with ways of how not to. Every now and then, we got to come up with some ways to. There was a generation before. There was a generation before that when attacked, they said, I will leave everything that I have to go to foreign soil to fight for the freedoms and liberties of this United States of America. We call them the greatest generation that ever lived. 16, 17-year-old boys lying about how old they are just so they could get in and fight for their country. Give us a little bit of that in our faith to be able to endure. Not only a face like a flint to endure some things, hardness, afflictions, temptations. How about this? Hebrews chapter number 12. If the first ones didn't go over well, this one's going to be a beauty. All right. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, look at verse 7. If ye endure, what's that next word? Chastening. Who wants eternal life? I do. Great. Okay, now that you have that, you're going to have to go through some things. What? Why didn't you tell me about this? Well, it was all there. You just couldn't understand it. You're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to endure afflictions. God's expectation is that you not quit. You're going to have to endure temptation. And you're going to have to endure some chastening. What is that? That's correction. Why does God correct us? Because he loves us. That's what it says there in verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God, why are you dealing with me? Because he loves you. Now endure it, learn from it, and be stronger and better for the Lord. Endure. Endure chastening. It is a time of correction. As a Christian, we need to set our face like a flint to endure some things, to endure hardness, afflictions, temptations, and chastening. Why would God bring about chastening? Again, because he loves us. I chasten my children, listen now, when they're doing wrong. See, why does God chasten? Yes, because he loves us, but it's because you're doing something wrong. He would rather you deal with the chastening than to see that thing all the way to the end. He'd like to stop you and correct your direction. So endure that. Go through that. Well, I don't like when the Lord corrects me. I don't like to be told no. I don't like... Get over it. Endure. Set your face like a flint. As a Christian, you're going to have to be able to handle some things. Christianity isn't for the faint of heart. Read the story of Paul. Shipwrecked, stoned. I don't know anybody that had to go through those things. I'm just saying he went through some things for the cause of Christ. Not one time did he ask the Lord, can I quit? In the book of Philippians, he said this, you know, I'm kind of caught between a couple things. I sure would like to see the, heaven. But I guess you have me here for a purpose to help the saints, so I'll stay here as long as you want. That's what he told God. you're thin-skinned and everything bothers you, you're going to have a rough go. You got to let some things, sometimes we got to let some things bounce off. Got to be able to withstand some offenses. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 165, great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's a connection between our love for the Lord and the love for the Word of God and how easily offended we are. What is the connection? The connection is this. Our confidence and our identity comes from God Himself. He calls us His child. He calls us His heir. We're His son. We're the sons of God. That's what calls us. And when we're constantly seeking the affirmation of somebody else and not getting it, and that's problematic to us, right? I just want them to like me. Yeah, but God has approved of you. God's pleased with you. He loves you. Look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I know where we live. We live in New York State. I get it. This is what you would call a blue state. Is it blue? I get confused with the colors. Because my favorite color is blue, but then I have to remember I'm not blue. Like, I'm red. That's just me personally. Whatever you choose. But we live in a place. We live in a place that politically, socially, I feel like they make decisions contrary to what the Word of God says. Say, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand behind this pulpit, and I'm going to place my face like a flint and look at the thing and just move forward for the cause of Christ. I'm going to endure hardness. Sure, it would be a lot easier. No, it would be really easy to have a church. I'll tell you this. You'll see it in about a month. Africa. It's easy there. It's a lot easier. You can get a lot of people to come. You can go pick them up. We're bringing two pieces of luggage to Africa. One is for you, like that's your stuff. And then the other thing is for Jesus. That's where we put stuff. We're going to have an opportunity to, you'll have an opportunity to maybe donate some clothes and shoes to people over there, like school supplies and pens and things that it'll just be helpful to them. But on the way back, you can use that luggage to bring little people back, which is wonderful. And they're the most. Seth, where are you? Yeah, you've seen it, Mr. Seatman. They're precious. You want to just adopt them all? You could start a. Why would you start? Why would you want to have a church that's so contrary in a place that's so contrary to Christianity? Because this is where it's needed. Hey, Christianity in New York State, you got to have a little thick skin. To have a Christian school in New York State, you got to be thick-skinned. Excuse me, sir, you can't do that. Yeah, we're going to do that. I'm just letting you know. We're teaching the Word of God here every single day. It is perfectly within our rights and ability, and we're going to do it. You got to do it. No, we're not doing that. We're not going to teach that here. New York State demands, well, I don't care what New York State demands, we're not going to do that to our kids. We're not going to do that in kindergarten, we're not going to do that in first grade, because it is contrary to the Word of God. So what are you going to do? I'm going to put my face like a flint and look at that thing and say, no, not here. Say, what is that going to be? That's going to make it a little harder. Going to experience some afflictions with that. Oh, sure, there's temptation to just turn tail and say, all right, let's just go with the flow and just do that. Got to be able to withstand some offenses. We did not read Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Are you there? Did I tell you to go there? Okay, good. We're almost done. How many of you are happy we're almost done? Looking. All right, thank you, Peyton. At least honesty. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hey, as a Christian, you're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to withstand offense. Yesterday, we're standing there. We're holding a sign that says, Jesus loves you. Right? Pretty happy. Lady's driving. She's laying on her horn doing this. Joe had the brilliant thought of, her glasses were upside down, and she thought she was giving us a thumbs up, but it was a thumbs down. Why would you? No big deal. I mean, I wanted to throw a brick through a window, but I didn't. I don't know what that does to you, but that just bothers me. They're driving, late, people are beeping, they're waving, and then all of a sudden, hail Satan, and they're doing this. Just foolishness. Just dumb. You're going to have to be able to withstand some offense. A verse we memorized, look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Hey, if you're struggling with anxiety, that's a real thing. Get your identity from the Lord. That'll help. That'll certainly help you. You'll be able to withstand some offenses. John chapter 14. Christ says this, peace I leave with you, in verse 27. John 14, 27. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, even in the midst of hardness, afflictions, temptation, chastening, offenses, God says, I got something for you. It's called my peace. And even in the midst of disturbance all around you, I have peace for you. A peace that, what does the Bible say, passes all understanding. Man. So there you are. You can set your face like a flint into the wind, upstream, fight against the thing. Again, Christianity is real here in New York State. This isn't just a cultural thing. You got to stand for something. You're not necessarily in the majority. I mean, I understand we live out in the middle of nowhere, and our church is in the middle of nowhere. Many of visiting preachers the first time, I don't know, I thought I was lost, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a church in the middle of nowhere. And I know maybe out here it caters a little more towards the things of the Lord. Our town officials out in Hamlin, they seem to agree with some of the principles of the Scriptures, which is a blessing. But you start heading east a little bit. How about that, Mr. B?
Whole new world.
A whole new world. There's more. I'm telling you, the further east you go, the more rainbow flags you'll see. It's just a celebration of sin. Hey, you got to have some thick skin to be a Christian living here in New York. I give you credit. But continue to endure. Endure hardness. Endure affliction. Endure temptations. Hey, the devil would love nothing more, Jacob, than you to quit on God and just fall prey to every sin that comes by. He'd make an example of you. For the cause of Christ, can you just endure temptation? Can you withstand the chastening? So many people get upset with the Lord for his correction, like he did them wrong somehow. God's never done anybody wrong. So what do we need? Well, we need to be strengthened. Ephesians chapter 6, we won't read the passage. I have it in my notes, but Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the armor of God. We're familiar with that, right? Because some of these things, now, real honest, hardness isn't easy by definition. Afflictions aren't easy. Now, how do I go through those things? How do I endure those things? By putting on the armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And having done all, stand. Look at that, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Just two more passages. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hey, I need to be strengthened. What do I need to do? I need to train my mind. I need to train my mind to follow the example of Christ. To set your face like a flint against the world. To not be ashamed. To not quit. To endure. Our mind is going to say... Some of our people went for a run yesterday. Tremendous. I was talking to my sister a little bit about that. And the biggest battle in running a half marathon, although, yes, you have to train physically, it's your mind. I will say 80% of running is your mind. So how can you say that? Because 10 years ago I ran a half marathon, I know. It was a long time ago. Totally, like half a person ago. But your mind will tell you, you have got to stop. And if you can tell your mind, I'm just going to make it up to that corner. And all of a sudden you have the strength to do that. And then you make the turn. That's why I don't like running on the treadmill. There's nothing to look forward to. Because it's the same thing. And it's like, I can't do anymore. But then you're running on the road, and it's like, okay, I just got to make it to that thing. And you set your face like a flint, and you go. And then you make it to that. And sometimes that's how our faith is. It's like, I want to quit right here, right now, but I'm going to get to that spot. I'm going to endure this hardness for another day. When you open your eyes again, you're here. And you say, okay, I'm just going to get to that spot. And you get here. Christian, can I encourage you to continue on? Not to quit, not to give up, to be strengthened. To tell your mind, in your mind, and say, God, I need your help to make it one more day. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, last verse. So how can I do it? I like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anybody know the context here? What are we talking about? 1 Corinthians 13, charity. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. What does it say? Endureth all things. I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. And in a world that is getting increasingly more and more wicked, the demand for the Christian to endure is higher than ever before. Endure hardness. Endure afflictions, endure temptations, endure the chastening. Be able to withstand offense. Hey, someone might call you a name. Control yourself. Withstand that. Be strengthened. This isn't a fleshly battle. This is a spiritual one. All the things that you guys did to prepare for that race, you need to do spiritually, daily, in preparation for the race of faith. How can I do that? Through the love of God, charity endureth all things. I love that next verse. Charity never faileth. It always, always works. Hey, I want to encourage you here tonight. Yeah, we live in a state that probably, I don't know who's going to win the governor. I mean, we can pray. But chances are it's going to go not how I would. So are you allowed to say that from... Yes, I don't know. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you what I think. And I understand that that's where we live, but please understand, Christian, we are called to endure hardness. Don't quit. Well, I just want to go where it's easier. You understand, it's not easy anywhere. Why? Because we live in a world that is contrary to the things of God. That's how it is. Endure hardness, endure afflictions, endure temptations, endure chastening, withstand offenses. I like that verse, Isaiah chapter 50, and we're done. Jesus Christ, the example for us, Isaiah 50. The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded, in verse 7. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I am not ashamed. At the end of the day, can you say, hey, I did the best I could. I stood strong on the principles of God. I didn't get as far as I had hoped, but I was going upstream. I'm not ashamed of what I did. Can you say that for the cause of Christ? Let's all stand. I just encourage you here tonight, stick with it. Don't quit. Don't quit. On the way out, we're going to take a special offering. Sam, can you look at that offering basket? Is there stuff in it? Yes. Can you put a new offering basket in there? Joe, can you get him one? Or you got one? All right. Anything, if you want to put like offering in it, that's the lower one. The top one is for that family. I don't know if you know all the details, but he was a 47-year-old man, husband, and his daughter was drowning. He jumped in to save her life, did, and he didn't make it. And pastor, church like ours, just outside of, just north of Albany, happened about a week ago. Just incredibly sad. And I don't know if there's a GoFundMe, but someone put, hey, if you want to be a help, just send a check over to the church directly and just... we'll just give it right to the family. And that was completely unexpected. And so we want to be a help and encouragement to this dear family. And I don't know one person at the church. I don't know anybody. But I certainly want to be a help to them. And you can imagine how difficult that would be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for encouraging us and helping us. God, help us to set our face like a flint against this world, that at the end we would not be ashamed. Help us to endure some things. Help us to not be so easily offended. God, help us to stand for truth and right. Lord, in our life, God, that you'd be pleased. Lord, I pray for this dear family. This dear family that here we are a week later, and I'm sure the sorrow and the difficulty and all those things that we talked about here tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help them to endure. Help them to know that there's some people praying for them and that care for them and that are in their corner. And God, help us to be faithful in prayer for this family. God, I pray you'd meet their needs. I pray for this dear church. And Lord, again, that your will and way would be done there. Lord, we need you. Watch over us. Protect us as we travel home. Lord, once again, bless Vacation Bible School tomorrow. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.